The Confidential Agent, written by Graham Greene and read by Tim Pigott-Smith.
Part 1. The Hunted. Chapter 1. The gulls swept over Dover. They sailed out like flakes of the fog and tacked back towards the hidden town, while the siren mourned with them. Other ships replied. A whole wake lifted up their voices. For whose death? The ship moved at half speed through the bitter autumn evening. It reminded Dee of a hearse, rolling slowly and discreetly towards the Garden of Peace, the driver careful not to shake the coffin, as if the body minded a jolt or two. Hysterical women shrieked among the shrouds. The third-class bar was jammed. A rugger team was returning home, and they scrummed boisterously for their glasses, wearing striped ties. Dee couldn't always understand what they were shouting. Perhaps it was slang or dialect. It would take a little time for his memory of English completely to return. He had known it very well once, but now his memories were rather literary. He tried to stand apart, a middle-aged man with a heavy moustache and a scarred chin, and worry like a habit on his forehead. But you couldn't go far in that bar. An elbow caught him in the ribs, and a mouth breathed bottled beer into his face. He was filled with a sense of amazement at these people. You could never have told from their smoky good fellowship that there was a war on. Not merely a war in the country from which he had come, but a war here, half a mile outside Dover Breakwater. He carried the war with him. Wherever Dee was, there was the war. He could never understand that people were unaware of it.
"Pass here! Pass here!"
a player screamed at the barman, and somebody snatched his glass of beer and shouted, "Offside! Scrum!" they all screamed together. Dee said, "With your permission, with your permission," edging out. He turned up the collar of his Macintosh and went up onto the cold and foggy deck where the gulls were mourning, blowing over his head towards Dover. He began to tramp up and down beside the rail to keep warm, his head down, the deck like a map marked with trenches, impossible positions, salients, deaths. Bombing planes took flight from between his eyes, and in his brain the mountains shook with shell bursts. He had no sense of safety walking up and down on this English ship sliding imperceptibly into Dover. Danger was part of him. It wasn't like an overcoat you sometimes left behind. It was your skin. You died with it. Only corruption stripped it from you. The one person you trusted was yourself. One friend was found with a holy medal under the shirt. Another belonged to an organization with the wrong initial letters. Up and down the cold, unsheltered third-class deck, into the stern and back, until his walk was interrupted by the little wooden gate with a placard, "First-class passengers only." There had been a time when the class distinction would have read like an insult, but now the class divisions were too subdivided to mean anything at all. He stared up the first-class deck. There was only one man, out in the cold, like himself, collar turned up. He stood in the bow, looking out towards Dover. Dee went back into the stern, and again, as regular as his tread, the bombing planes took off. You could trust nobody but yourself, and sometimes you were uncertain whether, after all, you could trust yourself. They didn't trust you, any more than they had trusted the friend with the holy medal. They were right then, and who was to say whether they were not right now? You were a prejudiced party. The ideology was a complex affair. Heresies crept in.